One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Tell him.
Not only am I trending gamer, one of the good ones. The only good one.
One of three.
WrestleQuest, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, let me get this right. I want to make sure I get a nice, good swinging space there. Yeah. WrestleQuest, all the platforms, everywhere.
Yep.
PlayStation. Xbox.
Hit them.
Switch.
Yes.
Netflix.
Steam Deck.
PC, which I've already said. And of course, they're... Oh! Folks, WrestleQuest. Drop tomorrow, 8/8/23,
a day that will make history.
3 days later.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've said it several times, but a lot of people don't want to believe me. Don't cross Greg Miller, because God and or Satan will step in to avenge me. So how does it feel, Jeff Jarrett, to nearly break my neck and then have your game delayed at the 11th hour? And guess what? The check the kind of funny for the launch stream still clears. Don't fuck with Greg Miller, everyone. I don't know how many times this needs to be explained on the goddamn internet.
Hello and welcome to Desert Island Graps. I know you're used to hearing the sounds of Tom Campbell, but it's Fraser Porter here today, and it's my absolute pleasure to welcome onto Desert Island Graps Greg Miller, a man who is currently hosting WWE's This Is Awesome, the CEO and co-founder of Kinda Funny, and just personally, one of the people that is responsible for me going in to study journalism at university.
Oh,
so it's an absolute honor.
Oh no, well thank you for having me. You know, it's great to reach out. I'm always down to talk wrestling.
This past week, you've had quite a big week. You were at SummerSlam. Involved with all your WWE commitments.
A big part of the main event, some would say.
Well, let's just jump straight to that. Yeah, you were a big part of the main event scene. We were watching it here. I was watching it back, and I'm hearing someone yell in the crowd. Someone's going, "Do it for Jimmy! Do it for..." And I'm like, that's Greg Miller. That has got to be Greg Miller. And of course, a video of that went viral online on TikTok. What was the reaction to that with your WWE colleagues, if knowing that it's yourself that is going viral for him?
You know, they thought it was hilarious. You know, my producer on This Is Awesome was very happy to see me out there in my blue suit screaming at Jimmy, or screaming for Jay, but about Jimmy screaming at Solo, being mad at Roman. They thought it was funny. I didn't, you know, get in the way too much. And I'm such a weird aspect of WWE, right, where I host the This Is Awesome show. You know, I do some interviews here and there. I talk to Dom and Rhea at SummerSlam in the streets of Detroit, the mean streets of Detroit. So it's this weird thing where I'm like extended family, like, you know what I mean? I've never been on Raw, I've never been on SmackDown or anything, but like I have a WWE show, but it's still that thing where the people who, when I'm backstage, the people who know really know, and the people who don't know who I am or why I'm wandering around.
And with you being in the crowd, was there any plan that were you standing there thinking, I'm gonna try and have a funny moment in the main event. We've seen you before, like at Survivor Series 2018. You and Brock had a little back and forth.
Yeah. Me and Brock had a dust up at SummerSlam, or actually Survivor Series 2018 when I was front row, and that was long before I even worked at WWE. That's actually afterwards we went backstage, and that's where WWE talked to me about actually doing something official with them, which would become This Is Awesome in 2022. I had so much fun being that close, but I also knew that was like probably a once in a lifetime moment. You know what I mean? Like, I will never forget being front row and finally holding the barricade. And my wife was with me, and it was her first show. And she's like, wow, this is really cool. And I turned to her, I'm like, you have no idea. I have been waiting 30 years to get down here and have my chair and touch the wall. And like, you'll never understand. I'm like pointing up, like, I was there on August 9th, 1999 for Jericho. I was over here for this. I was that, the other, in the upper bowl, like trying to describe what it was like to be in the Staples Center, right, at ringside. And so like, I felt like maybe that moment had passed me by until, of course, WWE realizes what kind of talent they have, and I'm a manager out there. Like, I have the gift of gab. I should be out there. I should be the next Paul Heyman. So when they shut down the aisleway behind us and started setting up a table, I was like, I was there with my friend Poe and his 10-year-old son, and I was like, guys, something's about to happen back there. Like, we have to be ready. And so when it got to the main event and the table was still set up there, I looked at the kid, I looked at the dad, and I threw my leg. Oh, we were one row off, so I threw my leg back, and I went to the very back row that was right behind us that had empty seats, and I just waited. And so, yeah, I was like, this has got to happen. And my hope was that when we got there, it would be Jay going over. Because Jay I've worked with enough times. Jay, obviously, the good guy. I felt like if Jay, did good things back there, I could get a, what's up, Oost, and a slap or something. And then when Solo popped up, I was like, no, not like this.
Do you want to take a Simone spike?
I mean, you want to talk about the week I've had, I'm sure you're going to get to it. I will take any professional wrestling move out there. I want F5 me through the table. Give me the Samoan spike. I'm ready. I want that moment.
Well, yeah, you alluded it to it there, but you've been in the news cycles twice this week. First for your SummerSlam moment and going viral for that. And then you had an incident with Jeff Jarrett. Now, he was on promoting WrestleQuest. Mega Cat Studios. We spoke to Jeff ourselves. In fact, you can check it out on cultolic.com. We had afternoon tea with Jeff Jarrett. But yours went a little bit differently. You got hit over the head with a guitar, and just last night on PSI Love You XOXO, well, he kind of hacked into your show. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, we were gracious enough to allow WrestleQuest into the Kind of Funny spare bedroom, our studio here in San Francisco. State of the art, brand new. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, I thought I was helping out a small indie game. And so as the Let's Play continued, as the stream continued, we were out there for 2-3 hours with Jeff James from Mega Cat, me and Mike playing the game. I thought we were having a great time. And then, of course, Jeff Jarrett realized how big a celebrity he was on stage with.
Yeah.
I had to start bringing out my Game Awards trophy, my South by Southwest trophy, my Johnny Boz Award, all the awards and accolades I've gotten throughout my lengthy career, which is not over like Jeff's. And that, for some reason, got under his skin. Once again, seeing a young buck. Same reason Paul Heyman's come at me on Twitter, right? You see someone coming up, a young stud out there about to change professional wrestling. And, these old-timers, they get jealous. They see their best days behind him, I think. And that's what Jeff did, and he took advantage of it, and he hit me with a guitar. And then, now he's got people working on the inside at Kind of Funny. I haven't identified who on our staff is helping him out, but they're helping him hack into shows apparently now. As he said, he's going to make my life a living hell. So
well, that's the thing. Are you prepared to fight back against Jeff Jarrett? Have you got a plan to – he said to be constantly looking over your shoulder. I can confirm to you he's not with us just now, but,
Okay. Okay.
What's your plan for going forward?
He used Discord. We're interviewing in Discord. He used Discord to get into my show, so he could be anywhere.
He's a tech wizard.
I really hope that just time catches up to Jeff Jarrett. You know what I mean? Like, he can't have that many more good years left. And so, really, I think even he's like, it's only 2 weeks until WrestleQuest is out. I'm going to torch you. What's really going to happen? You know what I mean? Does he wake up tomorrow and he can't remember that he's even done that and he's just on to the next thing? Does he think he's back in the Attitude Era? Is he going to go, just think he's doing the old Double J country stuff again? I'm not too worried about it. I feel like once he accidentally logs out of Discord, he won't be able to log back in, and I won't have to worry.
Well, you took quite a big bump. You know, you got hit in the head with a guitar. Cool. Have you had any aspiration of getting in the ring or doing any training yourself?
I mean, you know, I backyard wrestled. You can still, yeah.
I've seen it.
I was going to say, one of my backyard wrestling cohorts recently is like, you know, he started filming a documentary about our backyard wrestling federation, and he has started putting the tapes online. And there was a brief moment, you know, because I'm of an older generation, so I was living the Attitude Era. We were in high school during the peak of it, of Stone Cold, of Mankind, of everything else. And so it really was that generation, and I'm a huge ECW fan, that when you were watching it, you could daydream, right? When you're out there and you're watching Balls Mahoney or, you know, Mick get thrown off the cage or whatever, you're like, you know what? These guys have the same body type as me. I could do this. I could. That was the brief moment, I think, where I let my mind wander of what it would be. And so to have, you know, my dreams come true, which have always been to, you know, write and review about video games, right? Just talk about video games is what it's evolved into. I kind of, you know, said goodbye to this fever dream that would have ever been actually being involved in professional wrestling. And so now this intersection with WWE and what the doors This Is Awesome have opened for me, right? Like, I have feuded with JBL. We have done a back and forth thing that culminated with him hitting me in the face with a cream pie on the Royal Rumble pre-show, right? Yeah. Like, that really happened, where JBL was that involved with what was going on that we feuded for weeks leading up to that, and then it happened. And then to be here now and have argued with Paul Heyman, to be, you know, in the middle of this Jeff Jarrett stuff, like, my mind still wanders of, man, what could actually happen? I don't, you know, you'll never see me out there hoisting a championship belt, but the hope is, yes, you one day see me enter the ring as someone's manager or just to cut a promo, and it all goes terribly wrong and I am thrown through a table or knocked down or choke slammed or whatever you want to do.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that, but
I'm really living just about every wrestling fan's dream, right?
It seems pretty cool what you're doing at the moment. I can say from experience, it does hurt landing in that ring. It is.
Oh yeah.
It is very painful hitting a bump. But that brings us on to our first match that you'll be taking to a deserted island.
Yeah.
It's out of your top three matches, I want to know your first one.
Well, it's fascinating. This is such a tough one. And I do feel like it could change on a dime. When you were like, hey, yeah, we're going to invite the show, this is the pitch. I was like, oh man, okay. And I had that moment of like, do I want to overthink this? I want to, you know, go and like list and do? And I was like, you know what? No, I want to clear the mechanism and I want to take it as you asked it. And so what really comes back to me is somebody who doesn't like, and I, you know, if people are here and they know me from Kinda Funny and they know me from reviewing games, I so seldomly replay a video game. Like, I don't, granted, it's because, you know, there's always another thing to play. There's always the next review. You're always moving forward. But there's also that, for me, so much is not knowing what's around that corner that I really don't do that. And even for the amount of TV and movies I watch, I really don't rewatch stuff that way either.
Yeah.
And that's a more modern version of me, where I think back to being that kid for backyard wrestling, being the Attitude Era kid, just being a teen, right? And the amount of movies I would watch, you know, the Kevin Smith movies I would watch over and over and over again. You know, watching Hell in a Cell with Taker and Mankind over and over and over again. Having that Three Faces of Foley VHS that I would play over and over again, right? Like, I think really when I cleared my mind and did this, what I let in were the things that I remember so fondly. And it is the matches and things I watch over and over again in my head. And so really what I came down with was the first match I want to bring out there, and I already said it, I'm an ECW super fan. I would want to bring out an RVD versus Jerry Lynn match. And what I settled on, just to settle on, was Hardcore Heaven 99.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I feel like that's the pinnacle of it all, blah, 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 but I remember watching that pay-per-view, and I remember that match, and I remember what – and I honestly feel like I'm – if you're not familiar with Jerry Lynn and RVD and what they would do in the ring, picking one of them undersells the entire feud. Because it would be that thing of staying up late at a sleepover in high school to watch ECW on UPN in Chicago at, you know, 2 in the morning, whenever it came on. And they would have that caliber of a match there. It wasn't like you were waiting for the pay-per-view. You were getting it. And it was like at a time where, and even if you could look a little bit, I guess, at how it is now, right? But, you know, for WWE being the mainstream, you know, even during the Attitude Era, they were bringing up that cruiserweight division, right? This is before, you know, Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko and everybody jumps from WCW, right? And you start getting that smaller thing. So you were used to bigger men in these bigger matches, right? And so to get to an ECW match like that and have it be near fall after near fall into, you know, I loved ECW obviously for no countouts and no disqualification. So, you know, you're so easy to think of a hardcore match and tacks and bats. And it was like, that's never what these guys were. These guys were the physicality of it, right? You know, you're going to do an over-the-top rope, you know, flip into a power bomb, put him through the table there. They were doing Van Daminators in the crowd, like jumping off, you know, RVD was always so great. And I mean, obviously so many people know his moveset, but like the apron leg drop while Jerry is draped over the barricade, right? Like there was so much going on in there, let alone the fact that like RVD is RVD.
Everybody knows
Rob Van Dam, right? And it's like, I always think that Jerry Lynn is one of those super underrated wrestlers, where I feel like if you were watching in that time, you were watching ECW, you knew it. But Jerry Lynn wasn't the best on mic. He really didn't have a gimmick. He was just really athletic in the ring.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. And like that's what Rob Van Dam brought out of him and made him. And like, you know, Jerry Lynn and like that, the pile driver, the underhook pile driver he would do, like there's just so much awesome stuff. And like I remember that match ending and them shaking hands, and not even in the hey, like, you know, like, look around the ring, shake the hand, the heel face thing. It was just like, oh, man, great match. They liked wrestling each other that much, it seemed, in storyline, right? That it was just like, you bring out the best in me, and that's why I want to wrestle. I just love that. I love those matches.
And you mentioned you grew up as an ECW and Attitude Era fan, that was your era. Did you ever manage to get to any ECW shows?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and my friends made a point to do that. Like, we did like the random, like non-televised thing here and there, but the biggest one we made it to was Anarchy Rules, I want to say 99. It was like the second to last pay-per-view. It was the one where Sinister Minister blew up his hand outside. Okay. He blew up inside. We were all outside waiting to get in line, and these ambulances showed up. Like, what is going on? And then Tommy Dreamer had to come out beforehand to be like, hey, Sinister Minister blew up his hand. We're like, what the hell? What's going on? But yeah, those were like, those were the shows, right? Yeah. Like, that was the thing of, like, for what WWE was then, it was the giant spectacle. It was this, you know, I'm from Chicago, so it was the Allstate Arena, or, you know, back in my day, the Rosemont Horizon. Like, that was WWE, and it was that energy, and it was that thing. But ECW was, like, we felt like we were, like, the cool kids.
You felt cool, like niche.
You were doing something. Yeah, exactly, right? Like, everybody was in it together, and there were so many little things that would make the moment. You know what I mean? Like for me, watching ECW or being there for, again, what I think Santa Cruz was, oh, my light turned off for some reason. Watching it, right? Like it was, holy crap, like you're part of something big here. You're part, or something small that, you know, hopefully will be big. Turn on the overhead light. Don't know what happened there. Now you get the creepy down.
Oh, the great light.
Yeah, exactly. Look at this awesome yellow light we have. It kind of funny as well. Yeah, but, like, I was part of Sandman's entrance. Like, I was way underage, so he did not pour beer in my face. But he did, like, come down through the way. Of course, we all mobbed him. And I have this memory of Sandman's forearm pressed into my chest as he did, like, one of these pushing past people. And I came back to the seats, and I was like, I touched Sandman. You know what I mean? It was, like, this moment to be there and stuff. Like, and it was the same thing of, like, why I feel so indebted to Paul Heyman and why I'm so connected, I think, to Paul Heyman to this day as a fan, not as a person to person, right? It was that feeling of like, you really felt like you knew those people. You really felt like you were part of it. You know what I mean? Like it honestly, so much of what Kind of Funny does. And if you don't know, you know, we're this, you know, YouTube podcast troupe talking about video games and pop culture and yada, yada, yada. But like, we are also a huge crowdfunding success story. You know, we left the cushy jobs at IGN where we could have stayed forever. Arguably WWE, right, in an analogy, started our own thing from a spare bedroom, arguably ECW, and now our fans keep us going and keep this dream alive. And like I say, we've been more successful at ECW with our amazing studio and staff.
Been around a bit longer.
Exactly. What we've been able to keep going, like, in our industry, right? But it's that idea that, like, in the same way I would watch those matches and be like, oh, man, Tommy Dreamer's doing great here. It was also like I wanted to see Tommy Dreamer do great because I knew outside of the ring how much ECW meant to him and what he was doing with it and so on and so forth. Tommy Dreamer is one of the – is the only wrestler I think I've ever been too stunned to speak to. When I first started at IGN, they had me cover the wrestling games, which I loved. And so I went to, you know, WrestleMania every year, and they would do this Superstar Challenge thing where they'd have people play. And I forget if it was 07 or 08, but Dreamer was there. And, like, I was interviewing wrestlers, doing all this stuff, and it was awesome, and it was fun, and it was cool to be in the ring with them, or the room with them, and I'd be like, oh, I knew that person. But it was, I passed Dreamer on the way to get a drink, and I was like, I wanted so bad to say how much ECW meant to me, and all this, and it was that thing where all that bubbled up, and I just couldn't even express it, so I just kept walking. I'm like, wow, that's weird. I've talked to, like, the champions tonight, but I can't talk to Tommy Dreamer.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
At IGN, you had the opportunity to interview Chris Jericho, Hulk Hogan, Sting. Considering you were there at the Rosemont Arena for Chris Jericho's debut, which coincidentally was 24 years ago this week.
I know.
August incredible. Week, but
I saw that pop up on the Twitter. I was like, oh my God.
It's crazy, right? I was about to ask, who's the best wrestling interview that you ever got a chance to do? But I guess wow. Tommy Dreamer would, or never got the chance to do, Tommy Dreamer would be up there, right?
Yeah, Tommy would be up there for sure, especially for that moment, you know, in terms of just like, I think living that dream of me being in this presence, you know what I mean? Because now it sounds trite, right? Because I work for the company and I'm backstage all the time. But to be reviewing the games and, you know, the games are such a big part of my story as a video game fan. And then to be there, like, seeing Dreamer, yeah, the one that got away would be that moment with Dreamer. And even just to express it to him, because you list everything else, right? Like, I've lived the dream as well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll never forget, you know, I say that about Dreamer, and I say, then I often I'll say, you know, people tell me, are you nervous before an interview? Are you nervous before you talk to somebody, whether it's wrestlers or movie stars or whoever I'm talking to? And I always say, I'm not. I remember the last time I was, because even then it had been a while before I was nervous or something. And it was Jericho. Because, again, Attitude Era, WCW, all that stuff, right? August 9th, 1999, we are at the Rosemont Horizon, the final show I saw there while it was the Rosemont Horizon before it became the Allstate Arena. And we are up upper deck nosebleed seats. And this is in the day where they used to film Sunday Night Heat before they would film the show you were at or whatever, Monday Night Raw, right? So, like, we had already gotten a lot of wrestling. And it was Jesse the Body Ventura had come down from Minnesota, and he was special refereeing or promoting that he was going to be. And, you know, China was fighting in the main event to get her. There was, like, all this stuff happening in this jam-packed show to the point that we had actually forgotten that Jericho was going to debut that night. Like, you know, we were on Raja WWF.
You were clued in fans, yeah.
We were marks, man. We were in there. And, like, so... like, you, the Millennium clock popped up, and it was like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. And I'll never forget it, because I had a point-and-shoot camera. And so, like, I wound it, and I went, and I sat, and I'm in upper deck. These photos are going to be garbage, and they were. But I sat there with it, like, ready to take a photo. And that pyro pop that everybody knows, right, from when it was so loud and so hot in the upper decks, we felt it. And it was so startling that I freaked out and clicked the photo. So I have this photo of Jericho's pyro at the height, because it's just like me freaking out. And when that comes out and goes Jericho, like, you hear it on camera, But to be in the arena for that, we all lost our minds. And it was that moment is when Chris Jericho becomes my favorite wrestler.
It wasn't an incredible moment. Absolutely incredible.
It was outrageous, right? And the promo that follows. But then I remember the next time they came to Chicago, I had my 8x10 glossy of Jericho, and I brought it to the arena. And this is another really weird story to throw in there, but it's like such a joke around me and my friends of that is also the night where Taz was, we think, going to win the hardcore championship. And I was on my way to the bathroom and they stopped me up there and they wouldn't let me go for it. I'm like, why? They're like, oh, there's about to be a hardcore match. If you slow it down and frame by frame with my friend who's doing the documentary did this,
yeah.
You can see me with a manila envelope in there. And the manila envelope has the Jericho photo because we were going to go wait in the hotel lobbies and try to get signatures.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Anyways, to the point I was originally driving at with this story, though, it was that idea of I'll never forget being in the IGN office. We were in some meeting and I looked at my Twitter notifications and it popped that Jericho followed me.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, no, because I had just tweeted something at him about Up at Noon, the talk show I did.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he DM'd me. He's like, what's up with this? And we talked. And he's like, all right, I'm in. And I remember the last time I was nervous getting ready to do an interview, it was me walking to get Chris Jericho in the lobby. And I remember coming up in there, like the way IGN was, like you went down this hallway and there was a signature wall we had. And then you turned left and that's where the people would be in the lobby. And I remember getting to the signature wall and feeling my heart in my chest and be like, oh, wow, I'm nervous. I haven't been nervous in years interviewing somebody. And I rounded that corner and met Chris, and he was amazing, and it all faded away.
Yeah.
But it was that crazy thing of like, oh, wow, like that's how much this means to me subconsciously. I wasn't even aware that this was about to be that big of a deal to me. You know, my lizard brain, here I am.
Well, that brings us on to, I'm very conscious of the time. I don't want to take too much up off your time. But what are your final two matches that you would take to a deserted island?
And I can go fast with this one, too. My final two, right? This is, I'm not even trying to be obscure weirdo, and I'm sure a lot of people hate my picks or whatever. The ones I toss in that I replay in my head all the time that I think about probably more than anybody in the world. And this is one that I legitimately can't pick because I felt like every time I ever saw them fight was amazing. Masato Tanaka versus Mike Awesome.
Okay.
ECW, these guys would brawl. And it was that thing, too, of like Masato Tanaka, I had never heard of until he did that run in ECW. And he would come in with these elbows and he would just slam them into Mike Awesome's head. And Mike Awesome would awesome bomb him over and over and over. Awesome bomb him in the ring. Awesome bomb him from the top rope. Awesome bomb him out of the ring through the table. Mike Awesome. There's a whole bunch of stuff tied up, and I'm not talking – I've not read his Wikipedia. I'm not talking about anything that's on that. I'm talking about so much tied up in, like, leaving ECW with the championship, WCW, Taz coming back. Like, that's how people remember him. And then, of course, like, you know, WCW Super did not use him well. They made him into this weird disc. It was terrible, right? He was a force of nature in ECW. And the way he would jump and the moves he would do and, like, things he's doing off the top rope, you know, the splashes he's doing out of the ring, like – Mike Awesome in ECW in that run was insane. And so the fact that the guy who would step up to him and take him to the limit every time was Masato Tanaka, right? Like, those matches were just brutal. And again, these are the matches that replay in my head where I have, like, the moment. Like, I'll be, like, doing dishes and I'm doing elbows for some reason like Tanaka would, right? It's, like, insane. And then final one. I'm sorry, you want to?
Yeah, your final. What's your final pick?
The final one I toss in is, I think, I have to put a WWE one in there, right? And because I could put a million WWE ones in there.
So many great ones.
The one I'm drawn to is the one that I think would piss off a lot of, you know, hardcore wrestling fans. But I always talk about it as, like, I feel it is the snapshot of, like, what wrestling is and how special it is and how weird it is but how great it is. And I say The Rock Hogan from WrestleMania 18. Like... Mm-hmm. That was one of those moments where I was still watching that period in college. I'm in college. And I remember the amount of friends who were like, Rock is fighting Hogan? And, like, we had people come over and we all went and watched it at the Antler House where I wasn't even living yet. And I remember watching it and just the moment-to-moment of that match and seeing, like, it was, like, such a clinic in what professional wrestling, or maybe even what sports entertainment is in terms of watching these guys of, like, well, there's no way this should be a good match. Hogan knows three moves. Rock doesn't do that many varied things either. But the energy in the audience, you know, the back and forth, the, you know, Hollywood Hogan becoming Hulk Hogan again, right? And the finger in the face. And it was just like, I mean, we were popping out of our minds in Columbia, Missouri, watching this pay-per-view. And it's like one of those things that sticks with me to this day of like, wow, that was so special just to see.
It's one of the most iconic WrestleMania main events of all time. Or, it truly lives up to the "This is awesome" branding off your show, you know. With some really great picks. It's some of the picks there you've got there would delight a lot of the people in the office here. You know, the ECW, we're big fans of ECW. A lot of us here are that generation.
Dude, that was my thing. Like, you know, when This Is Awesome started, it was during, you know, COVID, so we were shooting at my house or whatever, and they're like, all right, cool, like, we'd love you to have some championship belts to hang in the background. Like, what do you want? I think they were ready for like the, you know, undisputed title list. And I'm like, I want the ECW belt number one, period. With a bullet, I got to have it. I need a hardcore championship. And then I'm like, toss in whatever one you want me to have. And they were like, okay, like, here you go. And like, yeah, the ECW one that we have here in the studio now is the one that means the most to me, right? Mm-hmm. Because like, that's like, oh my God, like that was the thing I'd watch for. Taz, you know what I mean? What are we talking about right now?
Well, thank you so much for all your picks. We're going to jump into some quick rapid-fire questions just to wrap this up. You name a lot of your video game characters in RPGs Taylor Swift. Have you been at the Eras Tour? And what's your favorite era?
So I have not been to the Eras Tour. So I love Taylor Swift.
Big fan.
Hell yeah. I'd shake your hand if we could. I've loved Taylor since her self-titled debut. You know, I was in Missouri when that happened. I was listening to a lot of country music. So she came on strong there. My favorite era is 1989. I went to see her at Levi's Stadium for the 89 tour. I had a great time at the show, but I have come to the realization that, you know, I always talk about the hierarchy of things I enjoy, and I always shock people when I put music so low. I love music in my way, and the way I enjoy it, and my way is not going to concerts. You know what I mean? There's been a few times in more recent years where acts have come through that I've adored forever, and I go see, and I'm like, wow, I am not having fun. I'm not enjoying this, standing in this room doing this thing. And again, watching, I've watched pretty much the entire concert of Eras through TikTok, right? Yep. And it's that thing where I look at that, and like, it's not that I look at it and go, oh, like, I'm not a real fan or something. I just don't enjoy it the way the people there are enjoying it. I wouldn't want to dress up. Again, we're in San Francisco, right? I don't want to drive 45 minutes, an hour down to Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California to get stuck in the parking lot, to do the thing, to get there, to have seats that I don't want to pay a lot for. So way, like, I enjoy listening. But I'm also the same thing of like, you know, I popped huge when 89 is going to be the Taylor's version,
right?
My favorite album. But then it was like, I get the emails from Taylor that are like, you know, oh, hey, you know, you can pre-order here. I'm like, it's going to be on Spotify. Like, I don't need to own this. I don't need things. So I'm a weirdo in terms of how I enjoy music. But
well, I respect your taste of albums. I'm more an Evermore type of guy, but 1989.
Evermore, to the best. Crushed it. I killed them. Yeah. But it's like the weirdest thing of, if you ever see me on a plane and I have my earbuds in and I'm probably going to sleep, I'm not playing something, I'm listening to 1989. Like, it is that level of comfort album to me that I can just put it on and just puts me out.
Just vibe. Going back to wrestling a second, what's your unpopular wrestling opinion?
My unpopular wrestling opinion? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, I've never been a big John Cena guy, and not even in the, like, I hate John Cena, like, boo, Cena sucks, yay Cena kind of thing. Like, it's just one of those things where, like, the ruthless aggression era never clicked for me. So, like, I respect John Cena. I mean, I love Peacemaker. I think he's a great actor. I think he's hilarious. I think he's great in the ring. I just, like, I don't watch a Cena match usually and go, yeah, like, I'm all in on this. Like, I love him as a person. Like, what I know about him, I don't know him. I love him as a person. I love him as an actor. But in terms of, like, it's a Cena match. Like, when it was Austin Theory at Mania, I was like, all right.
It was a bit disappointing.
And I was like, yeah, and not, yeah, exactly. Not even that match, but, like, even the hype for it is just like, all right. That's not really my thing, but I hope you enjoy it.
Who should beat Roman Reigns?
Man, I mean, you know. You all know who should beat. We should go back in time, and Sammy should beat him in Montreal. Like, the Bloodline is the best story in wrestling today, again, possibly ever. I totally get that. I totally respect that. I am loving where we're at still. I've loved the different changes and branches and yada, yada, yada. But it's that thing of, like, I listen to, like, Sam Roberts a lot, and he's always like, oh, yeah, they can't get lightning in a bottle again, people say, but they can because they did this and they did that. And Mania with Cody was awesome. I'm not taking away from that. But, like, the fact that Sammy came up the way he came up, and the fact that we went to Montreal to do it, and the fact that you were in the Bell Center, and, like, I always talk about this, you know, I was watching it on my phone because we were trying to put the baby to sleep. And so I'm watching Peacock. We're in the same room as the baby. The baby's finally down. And so I'm like watching this thing and I can't express to my wife like what this is. I'm like, this match is insane. It's so special. It was on the shortlist for Island stuff, but it's recency biased I worry about. Where I'm like, I know that he won't win. I know that they won't do this, but they could. And that's it's like so believable that in like I feel that would have been just the point to be like, yo, we got to throw the plan out the window and we'll figure it out when we get there. And I get that that would screw up so many different things and yada yada yada. And I'm excited for Cody to do it at Mania 40. I'm sure that's where we're going.
Yep.
But God, I wish Sammy would have done it in the Bell Center.
And finally, if you could go back in time and speak to little Greggy sitting in the Rosemont Arena watching Chris Jericho's debut, or sitting in Portillo's having a hot dog, what advice would you give him?
Great question. Don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's the biggest thing. Is like you get so caught up in your head about every decision or concern or this or how you need to act to some degree or whatever, but live out loud, right? Like just do whatever you love, just unabashedly love it, because it's all going to work out in the end and it's going to lead you here.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Greg, so much for joining us on Desert Island Graps. Where can people find you online?
Easiest place to find me is kindoffunny.com. We got podcasts, we got YouTube videos, we talk about games, movies, wrestling. We just shoot the crap with each other. We have too much fun, and apparently Jeff Jarrett's going to ruin my life.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.